Together for the scripture reading this morning, if we could, and turn to Genesis chapter number 37. Chapter number 37. And we'll read the first 11 verses together. Genesis chapter number 37. Hope that you'll stay with us through the whole day. It's not going to be long in the church services. And fellowship between the service and then the second service, and I hope you'll go to the park. We'll have a great time, and I hope you bring good food so I can like go around to each of you and Jones a little bit from all of you guys and just get the best of the best. All right, I like steak, and my second favorite is McDonald's. Okay, Genesis chapter 37, verse. I'll read for sake of time this morning. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 11. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children. And this isn't a message, but that's not a good thing. Because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it his brethren. they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheave stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray you'd bless the brief message this morning as we try to ascertain what you want us to do. And Father, and really think about what we know you want the church to accomplish and what you want to accomplish in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we know the story of Joseph well. He was the son of his mother, the first son, first child that his mother had a little bit older on in the marriage because she had trouble bearing early on. He was the favored son of a father who had 12 sons and 4 wives. But he was a man with whom God was with and prospered him. Here, and we know the story well, he had a dream. God was starting to reveal to him what he was going to use him to do in the future. He did not quite understand it at that time. His brother and his brothers and his parents did understand it, and they were not happy about it at all. The dream was about a future time when he would be over his brothers and fathers and father. We know that story well. By the way, his family didn't understand. They understood that Joseph's dreams are saying that he is going to be over them. What they didn't understand is the good part of that dream, that was vital for their survival during the famine. All they understood was that part. As we know the story well, this dream will come true. Now, there will be some difficulty with the dream, but his dream, his vision did come to pass, and it took some time. When it did come to pass, it had great significance for many people, not just for his family, for really all the people in that land there at that time that were going through that problem. And everything that happened was in God's plan. And although it was not understood, and the fact of the matter is it was misunderstood, it all came to pass just like God said and just like God envisioned. Vision. Vision is important. A vision is the first step to any type of accomplishment. Vision is when we see what God wants to accomplish through us and in us. And it's always the first step. Someone once asked Helen Keller. Helen Keller was both deaf and blind. Someone asked her in Braille or sign language that they did with her hands. They asked her, what could be worse than being born without sight? And her very famous reply was, being born with sight, but having no vision. That would explain most people. Joseph, everything that God did in Joseph's life was because God was with him, but it started to come to fruition when God gave him a vision. We know the verse well in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I understand that's tied to the law, but the law gives us the vision that God wants us to have. The Word of God shows us exactly what God wants us to do. But when we have no vision in our life, when there is no vision, we have no context of what God wants to do with us, it is not good for us, and it's not good for people we're supposed to help. as we vision, as we've mentioned so many times, vision is like that Polaroid camera. In the video, Joanna is there taking the picture, and it starts to be visible. Until then, it's just a gray slate. In the context of our lives, in the context of our church, we have an idea of what God wants us to do. We always have had. You get that just from reading the Bible. You know what God wants you to be involved with, but to what extent and to how, we don't know. That's where the vision's like a Polaroid picture. We start to find out, and as we go down this path, we see exactly what God has for us. We may not know the specifics, but the farther we go down the path, like that Polaroid picture, it becomes clearer and clearer. The early days of our church, we knew what we wanted to do. We knew what the vision was. We knew God wanted us to reach people. But as the church got older, things changed here or there. Not changed in that sense, but it broadened and it became more specific in certain areas. And that's how vision is. Joseph had that vision of what God, he's going to be in charge. He had no idea what that meant. But as he got older and he started going through some things, it started to click. And that Polaroid picture became clearer and clearer when it came to the specifics. When you take a Polaroid picture, you know what you took a picture of. You just don't see it very clearly. But then it starts to come into focus. As we look at Joseph, I want us to see three brief things about Joseph and his vision. First of all, I want to just say this. Joseph had a vision. Joseph had a vision. Do you know that very few people have a vision? In his book on turning vision into action, a man named George Barna says, less than 3% of Christians discover their vision for life. Probably because very few Christians even get into the Word of God or even are faithful to a good church. And so they just live their lives. Just Jesus and I, but they have no idea what Jesus wants them to be involved with. They have no idea of what God wants to really accomplish. And so they survive from day to day. And if that doesn't change, unfortunately, they'll get to the end of their life. And they'll look back and they will not have accomplished anything. In fact, the matter is, they'll probably look back at the carnage of people that could have been helped or people that they should have shepherded, that whose lives are a disaster because there was no one there to help. I think we've heard the story in our church. It's been a while, but many years ago, there was a revival meeting in a small town, and a man who was not a Christian, and he took his family. He heard about it somehow, and someone invited him, so they thought they'd go to the revival meeting at this church, and he got saved, I think, on the second night. And then he took his family, started going to church. They got saved, and he had a son, and as the son grew up in the church, they were attending faithfully. The son eventually got called to be a missionary. He left that church, went for training, and then eventually went to the mission field. His parents moved away out of that town, so they were no longer connected to that church that he had went to, and he tried to keep it. This is back before the internet and all how easy it is to keep up with things now, but tried to keep up with that old church where his family got saved, and he would get letters from them occasionally in support, and then the support stopped, and then the letters stopped, and he really didn't know what was going on. Many years later, as he was back in the States, and he was in that area, he had wondered what had happened to his old church, and so he decided to go by and check out the old church, and he was in that town where they had been reached, and he went, and the church was closed. It was no longer there. The building was there, but the church was done. And so he found an entrance way, and kind of reminiscing and thinking of the past, he got his way into the building, was walking around, and it was an old dilapidated building that hadn't been used for years. And as he's walking around, he's just thinking in his mind, you know, what happened here? Well, back in the days when he went to the church, they had that verse up there, where there is no vision, the people perish. And he had noticed how the sign had got tattered and old, and some of the letters were a little bit crookedy, but the W on where there is no vision, the people perish, had fallen off, and the verse said, here there is no vision, the people perish. That's what always happens. You know, 1950, this church right here was opened. It was built. The main structure. I think the chapel was here first. I don't know, Brother Jerry. But they built this new structure many years ago. I wish we still had the book. When we first moved in, someone had found a 25th anniversary booklet they had put together, and it talked about how the building was dedicated in 1950. By the way, this church, even though it was a brethren church, used to be on the move. In 1975, I remember seeing that, well, not in 75, but I saw the book from 1975, and they were running buses. They were going out soul winning. And this church was on the move. 1994, we tried to rent this church. 94, 95, when we were still, before we had bought our first building, we had actually come over here and looked at the church and were trying to rent it, and they didn't want to rent it to us because they really didn't want people in here. But there was, the Brethren Church had already died. They were done. I mean, that's less than 20 years. So from 20 years of having a church that was thriving, what happened? Somebody lost their vision. Somebody quit going after it. That's what happens, not just in churches, it happens in individuals. We have no vision for our life. By vision, I mean a spiritual understanding of what God would like to do through us. And I know we have our lives and our career, jobs and careers, whatever you have going on, and that all has to be taken care of. But more than that, God wants to use you to do something in your life. Some people lose the vision for their marriage. They lose the vision for their family. Some people, they've been saved for so long and they get so used to everything, they lose the vision for their Christianity. We're just getting along. Joseph, thank God, had a vision. But not only did he have a vision, when very few don't, vision gives meaning and understanding to life and excitement. You know, it's exciting to be a part of something that's going on. I mean, just, you know, I feel for so many people in this world. You know what they do? They get up on Monday, they go to work, they most of them don't really like their jobs very much. Some of them probably straight out hate it. Go to work, make it through the work week, pay their bills, come home on the weekends, really nothing going on. A lot of, if it's a guy, his whole life is probably revolved around his sports team, okay? If it's Raiders, your life's doomed. But your whole life is around this and that. You have no other purpose in life. That kind of life's not very exciting. You see, we want the Instagram life where, you know, 95% of the day is just mundane, but you get that one picture where you're taking a smile and then everything goes back to normal. And we see the pictures and that's the highlight. Look, it's exciting. It's just a picture. All right, can I quit smiling now? That's all that is. But I'll tell you what, when you have a vision in life and you understand what God wants to do and God can use you to help others and be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, man, that's exciting. We ought to be excited that God has given our church a vision, and you ought to get a vision for your life. One thing about this church from day one has been, it's been an exciting church. Now, sometimes the excitement was around gang fights and gunshots, okay? And that was exciting too, but you had to kind of be on the lookout. But there's always been things happening. Always been things happening. Why? Because when you try to follow God's vision and do what God wants you to do, life is good. Things are good. People are being helped. Amen. That doesn't happen everywhere. Maybe if we all had a better vision for our life, we would do better. You know, there's frustrations in life and there's things that come and it's just part and parcel of the whole thing. But you know what makes those frustrations and those sometimes disappointments and discouragement that comes, you know what makes it worse? When we don't have a vision to get us through it. When we don't have something more in our life. That's why when you come to a church and you're coming to church, you ought to take steps and grow and come to more services and eventually get involved with helping others. That's where excitement comes in. Amen. It's not about us. So we see that Joseph had a vision. Secondly, we see that Joseph progressed toward the vision. The Bible told us in verse chapter 37, he was 17. He was not 17 when he ended up being vice president of Egypt.
Really, he was in charge of Egypt underneath Pharaoh. That took a while. But from here to there, God did things to help him to progress and get to where God wanted him to go. That's really the story of our church. We started. We knew what God wanted us to do. In a certain sense, we've progressed, and as we've progressed, it's broadened, and it's been more focused. But we've always had certain things that were just right there. We've always had a vision for reaching our areas. The early days, it started reaching the Cambodians. Cambodian Baptist Church. That was it. And that was we wanted to reach. And then as we got out of there, we bought the building over on Pacific Avenue. We were still Cambodian Baptist Church. But we started reaching others. Remember, Brother Pineda and my wife, they had a bus route. Brother Pineda's bus route, my wife worked on. And they had a Hispanic area. And here we are, Cambodian Baptist Church, and all these Hispanics coming to church. I just remember one time I asked my wife, I said, hey, when you're out there visiting on that route, what do you tell, because that was back at the height of the gang wars. I'm like, what church do you tell these parents, you know, what? She goes, oh, I just tell them we're the Baptist church down here on 25th and Pacific. Because you say Cambodian Baptist Church back then, it's like Cambodian, and they were shooting each other. Eventually, we got together and said, listen, I remember we had a meeting, and pastor had talked to me and said, and we were talking, he's like, you know, I think we need to change the name of the church. He goes, I think we're reaching more people, and just being Cambodian Baptist Church, I think that's going to limit some people. I said, we need to change the name. And so he told me about that, and then we had a staff meeting, and the other guys didn't know. He had talked to me about it, but he didn't talk to the other guys. And so he didn't say we're going to change the name of the church, but he was just talking in the staff meeting like about, you know, we need to reach more people and different types of people, and you know, people are coming. And he just mentioned that for about 10 minutes, and I remember he goes, what do you guys think about that? And Brother Board said, I think you want to change the name of the church. You couldn't pull anything over Brother Board's eyes. And we thought about it, and we realized, listen, that could be a, why? Because God broadened our vision to reach our community. We need to reach our, I remember we were a teenage church. If you were here in the early days, it was like, I remember we had all these teenagers, and someone told Pastor, we had some of the older Khmer folks, and then we had all these teenagers, and a pastor had come in to preach. He goes, listen, you need to start reaching adults. And I remember Pastor Esposito said, we're going to start reaching adults. So what he did is he kicked all the teenagers out. He said, you go have a service with them over in the fellowship hall. I'm going to force our church to focus on adults. And I remember that old auditorium that first Sunday, there was about 70 adults in there, and it was kind of empty. And he's like, let's go. Let's start. And we started. That was we always have our theme. Our theme this year is making a difference. The theme for that year was an adult-flavored church. But God said, okay, it's time. You have a good base of these teenagers, and they're going to become adults someday. And they did. But he said, now it's time to reach adults. Okay, God always just broadened what we were doing to reach our area. But not just that, God broadened our vision for missions. We didn't support missionaries in the early days. We had, I think, two, three. Because basically, pastor was supported as a missionary. Now, we had a few. But then I remember it was like 93 or so, and pastor said, we need to start becoming more involved in missions. And so we started having yearly missions conference. We'd be six or eight missionaries in every year. We'd take them all on. We started getting involved, and then God started tapping on the shoulder of some of our people to go, and then the vision for Southeast Asia. And so God took what we wanted to do, that vision, and just expanded it. The next generation, we've talked much about that. It's kind of how we started with all the teenagers, and we wanted to reach the next generation, and we're still after that. And church planting. And we, last Sunday, I mentioned, we were at during the evening service, I wasn't watching the basketball game, okay, because it was halftime. But I was at the other church, Monterey Park Church, because that was their charter service. They're no longer under us. They are on their own. And they've kind of been functioning that way, but now it's official. And by the way, you say, are we going to do that again? Yes, but I'll tell you what, we have to get the building done first. But God still wants us to get churches planted. It's who we are. God broadens that vision. You see, we knew our mission when we started the church was the Great Commission. But the specifics become clearer and broader as we progressed. It's like someone that invents something. Usually they have an idea in their head. And it's like, here's what I want to accomplish. Here's what needs to be invented. But you know, they don't know from the time they first think about it until it's finished, it's not going to be exactly what they thought in their mind. As they get into it, they think of things and certain things won't work and certain things. And the finished product does what they want it to do, but there's different things involved with it. And that's kind of what it is. We have this Great Commission, this vision, but God makes it a little more specific to us as we go on. Understand that the vision is always bigger than the one who receives it. See, we get so confused in our Christian life, we think our Christianity is just about us and our relationship with Jesus. And by the way, that's a big part of it, right? But did not Jesus say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? And did he not say the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? You know, you can't choose one or the other. Yep. You know, it's like someone says, when you get married, you marry the family. That could be discouraging. When you get married, you marry the family, right? Okay, every wife comes with a mother-in-law. Would you like to give a personal testimony, Raul? Because I think the couch is coming your way. Oh, wait, where's Arlene? Are you going to put up with that? She's right there, man. By the way, I love my mother-in-law. She lives 1,200 miles away. And by the way, if she lived down the street, we would be great. She's the greatest lady in the world. I hope she's listening. I'll get forgiveness later. But listen, it's a package deal. Yep. You know, you marry the wife, you get the mother-in-law, you get the father-in-law, you get the siblings. That can be an issue, but you get it all. By the way, when you marry someone, you get the good that they bring. Yep. And you get the not so good that they bring. You get them on the good days, which for my wife is all of them, but you also get them on the bad days. You know, when you, it's just about my love for Jesus. And Jesus said, no. The second command is just like it. All these two commands are linked together. So if we get Jesus, you know what? We also get to love others. The vision isn't just about us. The vision is about what God wants to do in our lives so that we can be a blessing to others. It's bigger than just ourselves. And then the last thing is this, and we're done. Joseph sacrificed for the vision. We think of Joseph, vice president of Egypt, and he gets to help his brothers. Now, he did kind of toy with them a little bit, I guess, Brother Jim. Is that okay? He messed with them a little bit? Now, he was testing to see if their love had changed, but he was not being mean, but he did. I think he got a little... And who was it? Was it Simeon is the one that he put in jail? I wonder what was going on there. That wasn't on Acts. But he treated him well. This is for a couple little time he kind of got at him. But you know, he sacrificed for the vision. You know, I also wonder this. It has nothing to do with vision. It's kind of funny. I wonder if Joseph would have got that position early on in life if he'd have been that nice to his brothers. I mean, they were going to kill him, and then they sold him. I wonder if he was vice president a month later if they would have got the same kind of treatment. Probably not. But Joseph sacrificed all that he went through. The vision is you're going to be over everybody. But first he had to go to Potiphar's house and be accused of trying to rape, of attempted rape. And then he had to go into the prison. And then he helps a couple guys by helping them and tells them, hey, tell the king about me, and they forget. And by the way, this didn't all happen in a couple years. This happened, this is a little bit of time. And then next thing you know, after all that time and all that sacrifice, he finally gets to where God wanted him to be so he could do what he wanted him to do. Joseph sacrificed. There was detours, but he made it. I read this story. There was a couple and they were at a missions conference. They were married, and the husband kind of felt that maybe God wanted him to go into missions. He wasn't sure, but he felt maybe God would during that missions conference. So he took out a piece of paper and he wrote the four words: anyone, anywhere, any place, any time. He wrote those four words and then he put four boxes, and then he checked all four of them, saying he was willing for that. Then he made another sheet that was exactly like it, and he took it to his wife, and his wife wouldn't check it off. She folded it up, put it in her pocket. 6 months later, after God dealt with her, she came to the point where she took that paper off, she checked off all four of them, and she gave them to her husband. Now, they didn't end up going to the mission field. That wasn't what God had for them. God had for them to pastor, but they had to be willing to do whatever God wanted them to do and check the boxes. Sometimes that's sacrifice. Sometimes there's discouragement when things don't go the way we want them to go. I guarantee you. Now, Joseph was topside. He was a great guy. God was with him. No matter what bad circumstance he had to endure, he always came out on top. He always prospered in whatever he was doing. But yet, there had to be times of discouragement. So often, we quit when we don't get something right away. You know, one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time is John Wooden. He won 10 NCAA championships in 12 years. 12 years. In three of those years, I think his team was like 89-1. They lost one time in 3 years. But do you know that from 1948 to 1963, they didn't win anything? Now, by the way, if he was coaching today, he'd have been fired. From 48 to 63, they only made the tournament probably two or three times. They were not very good. But he was patient, and the time came. See, we want everything to happen right now. We can't be patient. You've got to be patient. Do what God wants you to do. Do what God has placed in front of you. And if you do, you'll get to where God wants you to be. But it takes sacrifice. Let me say this and I'm done. God has given us a vision to this church. And in many instances, the vision has come to pass, or it is coming to pass. And right now, what is set before us, one of the things is to get the building done. We've got to have that if we're going to go forward. But it's going to take sacrifice. And I guess I could say, put it this way, I don't want to, it's going to take continued sacrifice, because there's already been sacrifice. There has been detours. You know all of the things that have happened. We just can't control. There's been delays and discouragement. The city, I love the city. They've done everything they can to work with us, but they just can't help themselves. When we did the parking lot, they cost us about 6 months. As soon as we got out there, I want new drawings. Why didn't you tell us that before we got out there? And then the last year and a half. But that's coming to an end. It's not forever. And God wants us to get this done. God uses his people to get that done. God has given us a vision. We have progressed, and we still are, but it's going to take a little bit of sacrifice to completely get there. And that's where we're at. Let's all stand.